Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another week of Jail Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him, playing on your favorite podcasts of choice, be it Stitcher, Spotify, or even iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please give the podcast 5 stars if you like what you hear so other people can find it and help this podcast grow a little bit more. And by the way, also not to mention, I am on Patreon at patreon.com/jailplays, where I'm hoping to get at least 20 subscribers so I can start giving you video podcasts, so I can hire an editor, so I can give you better production, maybe even have some guests on. Who knows what the future could hold with support through Patreon. And you'll also get exclusives like mini-sodes, and on top of getting the ability to hear the next podcast a few days early, and also be able to give 100% recommendations that will be on the show that I will watch and talk about for you. And with that out the way, ladies and gentlemen, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week it's the new season of For All Mankind on Apple TV and The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and the movie that's taken the world by storm, RRR. But first, like always, some little quickie news for you. And that being that John Carpenter's The Thing lands the box office top 10 on the 40th anniversary of its re-release. Now, The Thing is one of my all-time favorite films ever made. And yeah, that's really amazing that they re-released it for the 40th anniversary. And now, thanks to that, it's hit the top 10 of box office gross. I think that's pretty cool. And also, just like to give you a little preview of what's coming in the future episodes. Like, I'm going to talk about Miss Marvel and also the Beavis and Butthead movie. Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. Those are things to look forward to in the future. But as far as things that I have reviewed already, The Boys. The Boys continues to kick butt. It's amazing. And also The Orville. The Orville continues to be a great show. And I am so happy about it. It's just wonderful to see. And if you haven't already seen it, I suggest you go and rent Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's just a wonderful film to watch. It's truly a jaw-dropping film. And it has so many premises. And does everything better than Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But with that being said, let's get right into it with the first topic, and that being RRR.
వాడు కనపడితే సముద్రాలు తడబడతాయి, నిలబడితే సామ్రాజ్యాలు సాగిలపడతాయి. వాడి పొగరు ఎగిరే జెండా, వాడి ధైర్యం చీకట్లని చీల్చే మండు టెండ. వాడు భూతల్లి చనుబాలు తాగిన మన్య ముత్తుబిడ్డ. నా తమ్ముడు గోండు బెబ్బులి.
Now that was a quick clip from RRR, streaming on Netflix right now and other major streaming services, starring N.T. Rama Rao Jr., Ram Charan, Aaliyah, Ajay Devgn, sorry if I mispronounce any of these names, and Ray Stevenson, just to name some of this huge, ridiculous cast. Now, a lot of you might know the actor Ray Stevenson. He's been in everything here in the United States, from B-movies to B-shows to A-class movies to A-class TV shows. He's just an amazing talent here in the US. And here he plays a British colonist. With a quick synopsis for you. A fictional history of two legendary revolutionaries journey away from home before they begin fighting for their country in the 1920s. Yeah. Now, from my understanding of this film and these characters, it is two of the biggest, you know, figures. This is obviously is a propaganda film. If you don't know it, if you didn't know what that it was that, then I don't know what you were watching. This is definitely a propaganda film. No different than something like Top Gun or Rambo and things like that. It is that caliber of insaneness, just stuff that doesn't make sense. I love this film. By the way, this film is 3 hours long. It took me 2 days to watch. I watched an hour and a half. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking I'm almost done with the film the way the movie got there. And then I paused it because I need to go to the restroom. And I'm like, oh, I'm only an hour and a half in. I still got another hour and a half. I still got another whole movie to go. And wow. Yeah, I love this film for that reason alone. That, not to mention the ridiculous, crazy, over-the-top stuff that you see from Indian movies in general. By the way, this is not a Bollywood movie. If you're wondering, if you think you're calling this a Bollywood movie, it's really not. It's from India. It's from that region, but it's not a Bollywood movie. It's like comparing Hollywood movies to, like, let's say, you know, indie films. You could call this pretty much India indie films. It's the closest analogy I could think of. But yeah, this is very high budget. This is very, very over the top. Having these two actors, from my understanding, together in this film is pretty much like having, let's say, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, and Terminator 2, Arnold Schwarzenegger, together in the same movie. That's the caliber of actors that we're talking about here. That's the popularity that they have over there in India. And you can see why they're popular. They exude everything macho and everything manly that could be exuded in a movie. They do this. The woman here or the love interests are really interesting. The movie itself, if you have seen it, you know all about this film. I'm just trying to keep this vague for the people that haven't seen it and listening to this review. It is great film. Oh, let me just say before I continue that this film is honestly like 70% in English. So a lot of you, well, at least on Netflix it is. And the little bit and the rest of it is in one of the dialects of India. I don't know which. I'm not Indian, so I can't tell you. But yeah, so you got that to look forward to. The movie itself, it's very basic as far as you see westernized plots is concerned. It's very basic, but honestly, there isn't anything in this film that isn't not thrown in. You want love, they got a love story. You want bros being bros, you got that. You want over-the-top CG, things flying all over the place, animals and all that, they got that. You want practical effects, they got that. You want giant, a shootout with guns and versus arrows, they got that. You want a man being chased by a tiger, they got that. You want dancing, they have plenty of that here. They throw everything, including the kitchen sink, as the old saying goes. But here, they also threw in the pipes that go with that kitchen sink. This film is just outrageous. And if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it immediately. This film is awesome. It is truly a work of passion and joy for the people that made this. And it shows on screen. Everybody's having a ball with the characters that they're playing. The director's having a great time. directing this. Everybody's having a good time. And it shows on screen through the performances. It is just fun ride. A 3-hour fun ride. But an amazing 3-hour fun ride, because you will not see anything that they give at you from moment to moment coming. You will never see it coming. And even if you watch the trailers, you go, okay. Oh, you're gonna be waiting for that scene that you saw in the trailers, but you will not expect that scene to appear when it does appear. It's just lovely. It is definitely one of the best highs you're gonna have when it comes to watching a movie. Like, seriously, this film, oh man, I can't stop gushing about it. I'm not gonna go into spoilers with this film at all. I'm just gonna leave it right here and say, go watch it, enjoy yourselves. Don't feel like you need to worry about anything too much. Just go in with an open mind and expect to have fun. Like, if you want a popcorn flick, why haven't you watched this film already then? Because this, mwah, chef's kiss when it comes to just over-the-top action and brilliance. And so with that, go watch RRR if you haven't already. And if you have, go watch it again. That's my recommendation for you. Now, let's move on to For All Mankind on Apple TV.
There's a primal urge in all of us to explore.
Some say private citizens have no business in space exploration. I emphatically disagree.
We have a historic opportunity. The first mission to Mars.
NASA's joining Helios and the Soviets.
A three-way race to Mars.
We're not going to come in second place again to anyone.
We're talking about discovering life on another planet. It'll change our concept of who we are, where we're going.
When united behind a common goal, there is nothing we cannot achieve.
Being first is what it's all about.
That was the trailer for All Mankind, starring Joel Kinnaman, Jodie Belfort, Sonia Wagger, Kyrese Marshall, Cynthia Wu, and Ren Schmidt, just to name some of this huge cast. A synopsis for this is, explore an aspirational world where NASA and the space program remained a priority and a focal point of our hopes and dreams, as told through the lives of the NASA astronauts, engineers, and their families. Now, this is season 3 that we'll be talking about. If you don't know the series, this series pretty much is a what-if series. It starts off in the 1960s, where instead of the United States being the first people on the moon, it actually Russia. Russia actually won the race to the moon. And thus, what are the repercussions of that scenario? And then, so the president's pissed. He wants to get people to the moon as fast as possible because the Russian beat him. Now, they're finally about to send someone to the moon, and the Russians beat them again, but this time with a woman to the moon. And yeah, so the Russians keep out maneuvering politically the United States in every which way, and thus the United States keep playing catch up and makes the president look bad. And the first season, I'll say this, it is a slow burn, but the payoff for it, it is definitely worth it. The payoff for season 1 is worth the long, slow burn that it is. And then season 2 is just more of almost the same, but the payoffs are a little bit more frequent. And now we're on season 3. This new season starts off with a bang. it is just as good as the first two. The repercussions of everything that's going on, that everything is happening. And by the way, each season jumps decades ahead in time. So the first season was the 60s. The second season jumps about around the 70s or so. And this third season jumps past the 80s. I think they're in the 80s right now, a little bit through the mid 80s. I forget. Sorry, my memory is really bad. But yeah, it is definitely one of those series that if you're into sci-fi and if you're into just world exploring or just love science fiction, this has some really good solid writing in it. It's awesome, fun. The ride is well worth it. If you are a person that loves, watching rockets go up in the air, if any of that, if you're just a sci-fi dreamer, person that loves Star Trek, Star Wars, all this type of stuff, you will definitely love this series. And yeah, for a lot of you, you might think that this series might end up being one of those bait and switches when it comes to, let's say, going from male protagonist to female protagonist. But the reality, it isn't. It is just a progression of the story, and you start seeing it through, and you start seeing that progression. The story moves in, the writers just go with the flow. The writers are just going where the story takes them. I think that is a wonderful way to write a series. You go where the story takes you. You don't take the story there. You don't force the story. Let the story tell you where it wants to go. If you know anything about writing, you know what I mean by that. It sounds weird for a person if you don't understand writing too well, or you don't understand storytelling. But that is the easiest, most best way to explain it. You let the story take you to where it needs to go. You don't force it there. Like what we see with modern TV here, mostly like on the CW, Fox, or NBC, CBS, what all those networks, like stuff from Discovery, all that is writers forcing the story to happen instead of letting it work organically. For another one is the Obi-Wan Kenobi series that just happened. That is forced. Miss Marvel. That is letting the story go for the most part. And this is seriously great writing. It is not the best writing in the world, but it is definitely some of the best writing on TV right now or on streaming platforms. And I truly do enjoy this series. This series is so much fun for me. I so enjoyable because I am a spacehead. It is the best way I can put it. I'm a spacehead. I love space. I love astronauts. I love being able to see that world, envision, and all its glory, all its beauty. As a kid, I always wanted to be an astronaut, but I wasn't able to. It wasn't my calling. And yeah, this is something that I've love. That's the reason I love sci-fi so much, because I'm able to live vicariously through it. And this is definitely one of those shows. And it's just a love letter to NASA and to astronauts in general. That's what this is. More than anything, it's a love letter to that. To them and that field of work. And yes, with that long, long ramble, sorry for that. For all mankind, I will end it right here. And say, if you haven't seen it, check it out. You can purchase it on, Apple TV, or if you have a subscription, you can watch it there. And now, let's move on to the main event, which is the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Nick, you've been living at the Sunset Tower for over a year.
They love having me there.
You owe them $600,000.
Okay, I'm gonna deal with all that.
But I'm gonna get this next role. And when I do, all of that changes. Then I'm back.
Not that you went anywhere.
He was so good in The Rock.
What about Gone in 60 Seconds?
Have you seen Croods 2?
No, I'm 44 years old.
Why would I see Croods 2? I've seen Face Off and Con Air.
Got another offer.
What's it about?
You head to southern Spain and you attend a wealthy gentleman's birthday party.
I would never do that.
It's $1 million, Nick.
I'll take it.
The guy that owns this house, what's his name?
Javi.
Yeah, Javi.
Mr. K.
Excuse me. Is Javi going to want me to, you know?
I'm not sure I understand.
Look, if Javi...
I am Javi.
Nick Cage.
You go!
I'll never forget you, Habs.
That was a quick trailer for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, starring Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, Tiffany Haddish, Neil Patrick Harris, Lily Mo Shan, Sharon Hogan, just to name some of this cast. A quick synopsis for this is, world-famous actor Nicolas Cage agrees to attend a birthday party for $1 million. While attending the extremely wealthy fans' gathering, things take a strange turn when his family's lives are endangered. Nick must extract his wife and daughter from the fan who happens to be a drug lord before it's too late. Now, I did not expect to see this film at all. I also did not expect to be an actual film. I expected this to be some sort of like behind the scenes movie for Nicolas Cage, of him, you know, him just being Nicolas Cage, him being himself, but in a movie type of thing. This is more Nicolas Cage acting as Nicolas Cage. If you know what I mean. This is more an over the top version of himself. I heard in an interview that somebody asked him, what's the difference between the Nicolas Cage we see in the movie and the actual Nicolas Cage? And he says, the Nicolas Cage in the movie doesn't really care for his family. That's the only real difference. Like if you know Nicolas Cage and you know his career, you know that he's turned down a lot of roles. And the reason he's turned down a lot of roles is because he wants to spend more time with his family instead of just, you know, constantly acting. He'd rather spend that time with his family than constantly just doing roles for the sake of doing roles. And that's very admirable for him. This also stars Pedro Pascal as Javi, who is the drug lord here, but also the massive Nicolas Cage fan. And unfortunately for Javi, he's really not the drug lord. It is someone else, which is, if you actually paid attention to the movie, it's very obvious who it is. But yeah, and the main reason that Nicolas Cage took this opportunity or job for $1 million is because he needs the money. He's in debt or in financial troubles for the most part, and he just needs the money. So that's the reason he's doing this. And this movie is just hijinks, pretty much. It is an all-out comedy, a buddy cop comedy, pretty much. He gets involved. The CIA is investigating Javi for a kidnapping that they think he did. So they end up dragging Nicolas Cage into this whole scenario. And thus, the hijinks ensued. And this is what I'm going to say. If you haven't watched this, go watch it. It is absolutely well worth it. Definitely should be on your must-watch list or to-watch list. It should definitely be on your short list for watching films. This movie is a blast. And so, here we go with spoilers.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
Okay, now that we're in spoilers... The whole film itself revolves, like I said, around Nicolas Cage and Javi. Nicolas Cage just running around trying to bug Javi's, you know, house with this USB drive that the CIA gave him to implant so they could go through the security cameras or look at what's going on. But the funny thing is like, this makes no sense, because if you're thinking about it, they already are looking in and seeing who's coming up through the security cameras. But yet they need Nicolas Cage to go in and put this Trojan horse into the servers so they can hack the security cameras, but which they already have hacked. Yeah, and there's also a whole sequence where him and Javi do some, what was it, acid? I think it was acid. I forget what it was. It was just a drug that they did, and they're freaking start hallucinating. They start getting paranoid. They start thinking something that they're being chased when they're not. They have this sequence where they're trying to climb over this wall, and it's just hilarious. And then next thing you know, and then he goes, and Nicolas Cage starts, you know, doing that whole junk that they do in Hollywood. And then you see Javi walk around the side of the wall that he was trying to climb. And then, not to mention that the fact that when they do kidnap his wife and daughter and they start holding him, right, so they could get at Nicolas Cage. Oh, by the way, the person, if you haven't guessed, if you already know, it is Javi's cousin, who's the actual drug lord and the one that runs all the drugs. So they kidnap his wife and daughter, or his ex-wife and daughter here. So he needs to dress up and put this fake prosthetic on and to make believe like he's this other drug lord from back in the day who's coming back. It is just insane how ridiculous this scenario is. They have a whole car chase scene all the way down to the embassy. They have so much hijinks. There's a part where they jump off of a cliff just for the heck of it. This movie is honestly beyond fun to watch. I had a really good time watching it. It's definitely, like I said before, should be on your short bucket list of movies to watch, because I cannot recommend this movie enough, because the fun that I had watching it is hilarious. It is extremely funny and outrageous for that. And especially if you like Nicolas Cage, this is really up there. This should be up there. You should have seen this already. But yes, with that, I'll end it there for this week's podcast and this week's selections. Watch The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. You will be unbearably laughing your butt off. So with that, internets, let me just say thank you for listening this far. Thank you for continuing to come back week after week. Thank you all for staying. And if you're new here, thank you for listening also. Continue to do your best out there. Our country is falling apart piece by piece. Let's try to keep ourselves level-headed and more secure. And don't forget that everything I talk about has a link for you in the show notes, this week's podcast, and every other podcast that I put up. And don't forget that I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/jailplace, where you can get early access to upcoming episodes. Also, exclusive episodes like the mini-sodes, where I deep dive one specific film or TV series, or anime series for that matter. But I think all that's coming when I have some subscribers. I just don't want the stuff sitting there and no one's there to, you know, listen to it. I do have stuff up already. I do have episodes up. I do have mini-sodes up. So you can check them out there. If you're wondering, why am I going to sign up if there's nothing there? There's stuff there for you. But I'm not going to make new content for it. Or at least there. Just leave it exclusive until we get some more some Patreons there and, you know, get this ball rolling. Everything will be here for the podcast, maybe a week or two after the fact. But for now, you can always reach me on Twitter at jlplays78 and also by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to contact me there if you want me to watch something that you like or you recommend at all. Or do you agree with me or disagree with me whatsoever? Let me know on Twitter or by email. Again, there's links for you in the show notes. And with that, remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.